Hi, friends. This is Angie,
Becca,
Heather,
Bonnie,
your host of the Seasons Ministry podcast. And we are wrapping up our 8-session series on this theme of trust. And as always, God walks us through living that out before we dive in. And as you know, even this concept, we had to really trust him because it was outside of all of our comfort zones in not doing a book of the Bible and taking it verse by verse, but really leaning into this relationship that we each have already developed with him, that we have to trust the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have so many resources, commentaries. You hear me reference going to Bible Hub all the time to learn about, but the greatest of all gifts is his actual Spirit. And so one more time, I'm going to read these two verses, but I hope you just keep repeating them to yourself over and over. I did it one day a couple weeks ago as I was on a walk, and that acknowledge him just kept, and it does change my perspective. When I just repeat just a few of his verses, the Holy Spirit can bring something up different each time, but it's just that reminder of, I think God has asked me to do this. I am scared out of my wits, and I'll go right back to these two verses. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one last time for us to summarize. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
So here we are at the end of the session, probably not feeling much different than we did at the beginning. And I think that's a reflection of our humanness. That's a reflection of why this study was so hard to start and why it's so hard to just do and live out and continue day by day. Trusting is not something that we graduate from. Trusting is a lifestyle. Bonnie, you said it earlier. A lifestyle, where is it? What is it? A lifestyle?
Cultivating a lifestyle of trust, humility, and submission.
Yeah, a lifestyle of trust, humility, and submission. How do you teach a lifestyle? I think discipleship is important in there. Mentorship, relationship, and community with each other is a really important thing. Watching Jesus, he humbled himself to come and to live on this earth in the humblest of situations. And he did that not for himself, but so that we could see who he is and understand how he can do it and how we can and live like him, I guess, and understand a little more about him, because understanding who God is an impossible feat that a human brain can't do. But still, we lean into knowing him more and more, and that lifestyle that you were talking about, Bonnie, is that daily page by page learning of who he is and going back. And it's funny, somewhere in between all of this, I had mentioned that I was studying Joshua, and that made Angie think of something that she had a question about from someone else, and she asked me because I'm studying Joshua right now, because we forget. And I read it. I had just read it this morning, so I knew exactly what she was talking about and had that information. But if you ask me 3 weeks from now, I won't remember that. And so I think that's why we need each other. We benefit from each other, and why the church is a gift to us from God. At some point, I think in a session one time, Cecily said that if salvation was the goal in itself, once we achieve salvation, then we would go to heaven immediately. But salvation isn't the end goal for us here on earth. Salvation is a benchmark goal, and it is very, very crucial to eternal life. But we also need to be here to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We need to learn how to, in all our ways, acknowledge him, because our lives are a testimony to other people. As women of faith, we are each other's sisters and each other's mothers, and we lean on each other. We testify to each other. We come together with struggles in our hearts and burdens on our backs, and then as we talk about Him and His light shines through us, and His truth and light pierce the darkness in our situations, then we leave with peace that passes understanding. We leave with hope that the God who has been faithful in the past will be faithful today and tomorrow for me and for my children and for my sister and for my family that's struggling. And so we get those things from each other in this beautiful, unified way that God designed the church to be. So I think that's an important part of trust. But then another part of trust that we really haven't talked about too much is rest. So when we trust, then we can rest. There's a scripture that says, so I lay my head down in peace and sleep because I trust Him. I'm sure I totally messed up that verse, but the concept is we can rest because we trust Him. Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 talks about spiritual rest that we can enter into as part of the church. And people who don't have that don't get that rest. In Philippians 4, Paul talks about learning to be content from prison. A book of joy from prison, talking about contentment and peace that he's obtained from his knowledge and relationship with Jesus, Scripture, and a lifetime of watching that be played out in situation after situation. So he has learned to rest and find joy and contentment and peace that passes understanding through this relationship. And because of that, he can lay his head down on his prison pillow and he can sleep in peace and rest because he trusts that God is in control and sovereign.
Yeah, and I think the rest comes by abiding continually in Him. And in John 15, 9 through 11, it says, just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And it made me think of there have been seasons in my life where I have not been abiding in Christ like I should. And when all these trials come pulling at me at every angle, I don't handle it well. And it's funny because my kids will say to me, have you not been in your Bible? When the trials come, talk about a guilt trap. And I'm like, okay, and so there we are being watched, you know, as believers. We're being watched by other sisters. We're being watched by children, by generations that come behind us. And abiding in Him is a rest that believers understand. No matter what happens in this life, when we abide in Him, we can go to sleep and rest in Him. But He's got it under control. He's got it. We don't need to worry about it. But if we're not abiding in Him in the way we should, like seeking Him with everything we have, we don't rest in our circumstances. And it shows. We're not joyful. We're not content. We're not just able to hand it over. And not only will we feel it, but those around us will feel it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole concept of rest, you know, there's physical rest, which is obviously, you know, going away and resting our bodies or walking into nature, Heather, that you've referred to a lot, what brings us that rest. And then there's mental rest, and that's kind of resting from fear and worry and anxiety, and how much of that do we have in the world today? And then there's the spiritual rest, which is, I think, resting in our salvation. And kind of I read somewhere this phrase that I love, tranquility of the soul. And I just think, you know, we need rest in all of those areas, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And another quote I read from somewhere, I do have quotation marks around it, but I don't have the direct references, It's about finding peace with God, drawing closer to Him, and restoring the soul. You know, perfect peace. And where do we find that? Mm-hmm. In Him.
Literally, Bunny. Look, Isaiah 26. Verses 3 and 4 is what I have opened, okay. And it's, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Yeah. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. And so, hear us, we are not saying, or I am, let me not speak for everybody else here, I am not saying, I have been going through a season where I am wrestling through lots of anxiety, lots of anxious thoughts that... He didn't say we wouldn't have those. Right. He just helps us. So I have to renew my mind that we were talking about from Romans 12 and focus back on Him. So I've been keeping that Isaiah 26 that He promises a mind that's focused on Him will be offered that perfect peace. And I think that's where rest comes. The more that I learn to surrender to His will for my life, more at rest my soul will have to be, because that's what I was created for. But it's our flesh in this broken world is very strong. And I mean, that goes all the way back to the garden. Like, that was ultimate perfect peace. That was ultimate rest. And still we fell to temptation. And so that is our constant struggle again and again. And so I have been asking myself, and I even thought of this earlier in a previous episode, we talked about how setting our kids out into the world is hard, and it can bring up a lot of these anxious thoughts, and the world can be hard and mean, and you want to bring them back in. But when we're talking about altars, you know, we have Abraham and Isaac. And so when the anxiety comes, what I've been starting to ask myself is, what am I not trusting in God? So am I not trusting that He will be all those things and prove trustworthy to my children the same as He has to me? And it's just that reality. But this, again, I have to cling to His words. I have to cling to those rocks of remembrance when circumstances around get so hard. But another one I wrote down was Joseph. You know, here's this young kid that shares this vision that God gave him with his brothers. And he's, you know, a lot of people say he was arrogant and he was just young. He was just inexperienced, I would say. And you're talking about years and years and years later in Genesis 50, he has to remember back to that dream. And he says in Genesis 50, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive. That's all of it. Like, we trust and we cultivate a lifestyle of trust in hopes that more people will be kept alive for eternity.
I think the temptation is to make this altar about us, you know, about my faith and about my trust in Him. But the altar, and I know I said this before in the last session, but the altar is about our insufficiency and His sufficiency.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what Joseph had to learn, you know, because he had these dreams, but the dreams didn't come with interpretation. The dreams just came as a dream, and he's a boy, and he has no idea. Mm-hmm. So he thinks, oh, I'm going to be king, and you're all going to bow to me. Well, he's going to hold on to that one because human nature wants to hold on to that. I don't want to be a king that had to fight to get there. I just want to wake up and be king someday. Have everybody do what I say. I know everything. But that's where trust comes in. Trust is that surrender in knowing that God's plan for Joseph was, yes, to be in a place of authority. But God's plan to get Joseph to that place of authority involves
humility
a lot.
Submission and trust.
And the humility doesn't come immediately. I mean, sometimes we're humbled in situations. But a lifestyle of humility is something that we have to learn, because we have to daily die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. Mm-hmm. And so when we learn like Paul, to be content, and we can rest in who God is, then our altar and our legacy becomes not us and anything that we can do on our own, but like Paul says in, I think, 1 Corinthians, we boast in our weakness. You know, my altar is me boasting in the weaknesses that I have. And I am trusting that when I was weak, he was strong. And I'm building this altar of trust on Jesus as the cornerstone. And the corner, because here I was going this direction, but Jesus came. In that encounter, the altar is a testimony of an encounter with God. Mm-hmm. And now we turn. Salvation becomes a shift in our life, who we are, and we turn from the old way. Start walking down the path that he has made for us, curvy or not, depending on the worldly standards, like you were saying, Heather. But still, we turn onto his path, and then every step that we take in that path becomes more and more humble, more and more surrendered, more and more trusting, because we continually see God testifying to us who he is through the struggles that we have, and then we can rest and knowing that whatever the next day brings, we know who he is, and we know that we are his sheep, and that we belong to him.
Mm-hmm. And you were speaking about humility. It was making me think of Naaman, because I'm in the book of 2 Kings. And he was a very proud man. He was a very proud, proud man. He was a leader of the king of the army of King of Aram. And he was a valiant warrior, but he was also a leper. That's what the scripture tells us. And they captured this little Israelite girl, and we don't know her name. We don't know anything about her except that she was captured and God used her. And he, you know, Naaman was, he was humbled because, you know, Elisha said, go dip yourself in the water in the Jordan River 7 times. And he just thought he was too good for that. You know, the Jordan River was dirty. I mean, what? And, you know, he was just very angry. But then he comes about doing it and was humbled immediately. And in fact, he had the faith that Israel didn't have at the time. Yeah. And so it's just so amazing of God's testament of that altar. Humility is a part of it. You know I've had to be humbled many times. And when I think I've got it, God's like, no, you don't. You know, and he reminds me of who he is. I am. And the rest in the humility, I always want to achieve humility. I never quite get there. But when I get
it. Is it something to achieve?
I guess it's something to work towards. I don't think I'll get there on this side of heaven. In fact, I know I won't, because I have this yucky flesh that I'm living in currently. But when you rest in humility, in his humility, it's a peace that passeth all. And I believe Naaman had a peace that passed all understanding that maybe he even couldn't comprehend it.
Yeah. I keep thinking that in our humility sometimes, in our humanness, it's, yeah, I'm humble, and I'm proud of it. Yeah, which isn't humility at all, obviously. Going back to the idea of resting, you know, I look at some scriptures here. The familiar Psalm 23, part of rest, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Mm-hmm. And in Exodus, I will go with you and give you rest. That's Exodus 33, 12 through 14, and that's just a summary of that. But the comforting words that I find in this whole concept of rest is Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, mm-hmm. all you who are weary and burdened or heavy laden, the KJV, mm-hmm. and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. And that resting leads, I think, to trusting, as you said, Becca, earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you keep going, because I have that open here. Okay. Also, the Holy Spirit's moving
right
today.
That's...
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mm-hmm. And we often think the opposite. We think that his boundaries are meant for some evil, so we test them. But really, he's saying, like, no, this, I promise this is the best way for you. Right. And it takes, like, listening and submitting and doing to experience that kind of rest that he is offering. I put rest comes in knowing God and in trusting more fully in his way. Amen. One thing in it, this ties back into what Becca was saying about it's not about us. And there was finally a switch for me with David, because I hear so many people say, how could David be the man after God's own heart? Because David was, you know, committed adultery and then he committed murder. But David wasn't leaning on his own altar. He was pursuing after Jesus, the blood, the only thing that could cover. So he was pursuing that. And even when David was humble enough to show us the very worst parts of his flesh. And in order for us to help us, that even when he had Jonathan come and show him what he had become blinded to, David then took that awful piece of his heart to God, because he knew that was the only way. So it's that invitation, come to me. I'm sure there are people out there thinking, but if you only knew. No, he's saying, well, one, he already knows. He's just saying, come to me. Because it's only through the blood of my son that you can experience rest and experience peace, can experience forgiveness. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we fight that, but it is so freeing. But it can be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It takes me to Philippians 4. Mm-hmm. I know we've mentioned earlier already, but this is Paul, so 4:10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret to facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that makes me think of this old hymn song lyrics that say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. So he invites us. It's demonstrated throughout Scripture, the benefits of trusting. God doesn't say, trust me, do what I say. I think some sort of authority figures like to say, well, I'm your boss, so you do what I say. I'm your mother, and I said so. You know, that's not what God is saying to us. He's saying, trust me, because I know what's best for you, because I care for you, because I have a plan that's better than yours, because I'm all-knowing, I'm all-seeing, I'm all-everything, I am. And so when God invites us to trust him, it's for our own benefit, and that is the evidence of a God who is perfect and a God who is loving. Because if it were a God that we would come up with on our own, it would be, trust me for my good. But he's saying, trust me for your good. And that is such a beautiful testimony of God's character in itself. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of the times when we say, trust me, I think about the movie where there's a man standing on a magic carpet and he's reaching out his hand to this girl who is basically a stranger. And he's saying, do you trust me? And she puts her hand in his and jumps on the magic carpet and off they go. This is not in the Bible. But this is world trust, isn't it? Like, in our own minds, we can grasp and understand. Here's a strange man standing on a magic carpet saying, "Do you trust me?" And with all of our being, we say, "Yes, get on the carpet and go." Why can't we do that with God? Why can't we just say, "Yes, I'm stepping onto that carpet and we're going to ride this together." And know that because he's the one controlling it, he's the one directing the path, that it's going to be for my good. And it may not feel good, and it may not be easy, but God led the Israelites from Egypt into terror. Then he parted the sea, led them across, immediately took them to a place with no water, and then took them to a place with no food, and then took them to another enemy. Because he wanted to testify to them and build their faith in him to show that he is their provider for their freedom. He's the provider for their water, their food, their safety, and every other need that they have. So when we walk into these seasons of struggle, we want to walk into them with trust, knowing that he is doing it for our good. And that's enough. Because, like Paul says, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, the mountains and the valleys. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That is trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was thinking just a little bit with the two of you, Angie, and back when you were talking about the magic carpet, I was thinking of Peter on the water. He could see him. And yeah, he still sunk. So, I mean, you know, God gives grace to us. But Jesus is standing in the water. The storms are swirling and Peter can see him, and I'm so thankful for that example, because there's hope for me. You know, that's what I think. And when you were talking about David, one thing that has always stood out to me about David is he trusted God in his repentance and his forgiveness, like his repentance to God, and he trusted mm-hmm. God in his forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And David just exhibited throughout his whole life. I mean, I'm with you, like, he wasn't a great dad, you know, he had a lot of issues, but he repented. He trusted God and repented. And that is such an example, because sometimes I don't trust in my repentance to God. I don't trust, did he really forgive me? Yeah. And there's rest when you trust in repentance and salvation. There is a rest that you can't describe. And so sometimes a lot of times it's so great to have these people in the Bible that shows us, I'm weak just like you. But trust in that rest. And, those are great examples that you two had mentioned. And David, like I said, he repented and he trusted God through his repentance. So. That's really
good. And Peter sank when he took his eyes off Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mm-hmm. think, how many times do we take our eyes off Jesus? Mm-hmm. And then life just becomes even more. Yeah, life is difficult enough, mm-hmm. But when we take our eyes off Jesus and we're not in his word as much as perhaps we need to be, because there's where we find our strength, there's where he communicates with us, spending time with him in prayer, sharing our burdens with one another, yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, and we do, I think, you know, I'll speak for Bonnie Smith. There are times when my focus is just not where it needs to be, and that's on Jesus. And that's when life gets even more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were saying we trusting in a God who wants good for us, you know, it's that Romans 8:28 verse. But most recently I was listening to somebody who really brought in the next verse is why that is. But so Romans 8:28-29, and we know that for those who love God, all things will work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image. So when we're going through the suffering, or when we're going through circumstances that we don't understand, we can trust that little by little he's conforming us into the image of his son. And the son is absolutely the cultivation of a lifestyle of trust, humility, and submission in our very connection. He is the vine, we are the branch, And so it always goes back to him over and over and over. And there is no greater thing than knowing him. And even when life is hard, I mean, it's just knowing it was impossibly hard for him as well. He does not glance over any of our tears. He actually holds them all.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I think we started with the question about the heart and how our emotions are hidden in our heart. Our heart is deceitful above all. And so we've gone on this journey that has been emotional of trust. And I think that's what was specifically mentioned there, into your emotions. Trusting God doesn't give us our salvation. Mm-hmm. Trusting in God gives us peace. Mm-hmm. It gives us rest. Trusting in God is a gift from God. He invites us with all of our heart to trust in him and not to lean on our own understanding, because he knows, he remembers that we are made from dust. One of my favorite scriptures, he knows us. He knows our limitations. He knows our inadequacies. He knows our weaknesses. So he invites us not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in him with all. Wow, I really feel like we could do this for 8 more sessions. But we're going to wrap this one up and know that this is a process that never stops. So thank you for joining us in this session. We're going to pray. I don't know what we're going to do next, but God is with us and he is directing our paths and has plans. So stay tuned. We have more plans for seasons as soon as God clues us in. Bonnie, do you want to wrap us up on this session? Sure.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for precious rest in you. And Father, I just pray that as we walk this journey of life here on earth, that we will trust in you and lean not on our own understanding. For Father, we know that trusting in you, you will direct our steps. You will direct our path and make our path straight. And Father, we just cannot thank you enough for that. And Father, help us to know that your invitation is, come unto me. And you will give us rest. And Father, you will grant us peace. May we begin to understand that and accept that and just simply trust and obey. In Jesus' name.